Just 2 months ago, we heard a story of Jesus early on in his ministry when he was returning to his hometown after gathering huge crowds around him. As he taught and preached and healed, until he came to his own hometown, Nazareth, where things very quickly turned ugly. I don't know if you remember that story, but Scripture tells us that he managed to escape by walking straight through the angry crowd. But for a moment, he was pressed up against that cliff, and we were afraid that he might fall. It seemed, everything seemed to lead to him falling. And instead, he found a way through the crowd, a way out of no way, setting the stage for his many encounters with fear and hate-filled people, in which Jesus always rose above the fray and went on with God's good news. We have become practiced with expecting the impossible of Jesus. We, as the hearers of word, become less anxious and fearful despite the forces building against the good news he bears. We have been on the road with Jesus and his followers. We have felt the power of a community of hope moving forward. We know the promise of soul and life-saving faith practice. We know it. We've felt it. We've seen it wash over others around us. We have seen the sickest, the most desperate, most sinful people return to their God-given potential and to full membership and responsibility in community. We have eaten our fill, been treated with dignity, been full partners in the good news. The journey has changed us as it has those who were with him on the way to Jerusalem. We are triumphant as we enter Jerusalem. We feel the soul and life-saving potential all the more powerful as we begin to yell, "Hosanna! Save us! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of our God, the ruler of Israel. Hosanna! Save us!" Aren't we all looking for someone to save us? I don't know about you, but as a child growing up in the Deep South, I was born and bred to wait for the man who was going to save me, who would be the breadwinner, who would take out the garbage and do all those things that a man does, and I would do all the things that a woman does, and everything would be fine. That didn't work so well for me, a rebellious young girl. I had some issues with that, and I grew up during the women's movement and saw that there was another way, a way in which we could all be whole, contributing members of community. But you know, somewhere way off in the distance, I still think there might be that person who's going to save me. Don't you have that in your mind too? Somewhere, someone is going to be the one. Maybe a friend, maybe a pastor, a church, maybe a plan, an ideology, maybe an addiction. But the truth is, No one can save us. God saves us, but we have a part to play. We have to participate in the saving. So every time we turn over our power and say to someone else, "Save me," we have given it away. But when we say, "Save us," we will save each other. Our lives depend on our survival. We need each other to survive. Then we go on better, and the world can be better. Poet David White's poem, Finisterre, which I read, is about another pilgrimage at another time that many thousands of people over the years have taken, people who could not go on living the way they had, who wanted more than anything to have their faith ignited, to know the gift of hospitality, the strength of community, the clarity of purpose. The Camino, or Way of Santiago, St. James, was one of the most important Christian pilgrimages during the medieval times, together with pilgrimages to Rome and Jerusalem. The Way, or Camino de Santiago de Compostela, began as a pilgrimage to what is thought to be the relics of the apostle James, son of Zebedee, which are interred in the grand old cathedral of Santiago de Compostela. Ever since his grave was discovered in 800 CE, hundreds of thousands of the great and good have trod the path across northern Spain, making the Camino the most famous pilgrimage in the world today. The Compostela is a certificate of accomplishment given to pilgrims upon completing a minimum of 100 miles walk or 500 mile bike ride. But it's so much more than just a walk. Finisterre is a Latin word meaning ends of the earth, and it refers to a place on the west coast of Spain where pilgrims end their journey. The coastline is rough, jagged, and treacherous, earning the name the Coast of Death. Many seafaring vessels have lost their way and ended up on the bottom of the sea over the ages until today. Visitors are also reminded to be careful walking on the slippery rocks as deaths on the coastline around the lighthouse have also occurred. These people who've already walked 100 miles and come to celebrate that still face the peril, the treachery of that coast. Their lives are still in danger. The walk is over, but the way is not. Finisterre, meaning ends of earth. I already said that, but now you've really got it, don't you? There's a tradition of burning your clothes or shoes when you reach the end of the Camino, when you reach the sea, as a symbolic act of awareness that life will never be the same, that you can never repeat it, you can never turn back, that it may be an ending, but a new journey is beginning. Unknown, you are still being made new. Writes about life through the eyes of a pilgrim, a person who has, intentionally or not, found themselves in a place of meaningful transition. We've all been there, right? We've all had those moments when we've been turned around, when it's taken us a lot longer to get where we were going, and we end up going a whole different place where we're changed by the time we get there, and we have to keep changing as we go on. This being on the road between things may take many forms. It may be illness or heartbreak or injustice or loss or depression or imprisonment or exile or betrayal. But what everyone has in common who makes the pilgrimage is that you are no longer who you used to be, but not yet who you will become. White maps the complexities of the journey to the end of the world, which is impossible to pass through quickly. At times, pilgrims ache to turn back. Sometimes the destination changes. Sometimes the weather keeps travelers stuck for days in one place. Like the early followers of Jesus on the way to Jerusalem, travelers' intention changes as the journey progresses. We live by the hospitality of strangers when we're on that journey, and sometimes we have to go without. But throughout the journey, pilgrims are afforded a special freedom from the identity they left behind. Free. The freedom that only comes with walking the pilgrim way. It's a process, not an event. This must have been something like what those who traveled with Jesus had experienced. There are many, many who are on that pilgrimage today that's not quite as nice as the Camino de Santiago. Refugees around the world, particularly people fleeing their homelands and being met as the pilgrims entering Jerusalem with dissonance, discord, rejection. Many who left their countries were compelled by the same forces that sent Camino travelers on their way. And that is that what they had been or done or believed or bought, the ways in which they had spent themselves, the sense of themselves as members of a larger community wasn't working anymore. We come to church this morning because we love the movement. We love the waving of the palms, Jesus on the back of a donkey, children chasing after them, helping to build the sense of collective joy. That moment of realizing that all might be well, that the story might have a happy ending, Yet there is a shadow cast before us, isn't there? The festival frenzy of waving palms, the marvelous chaos of Jesus entering Jerusalem in a parade, the screaming disciples and braying donkeys will soon give way to the betrayal, the anguish, the abandonment, suffering, and death. We who shout Hosanna might soon shout Crucify Him. And our immersion in these scriptures today in worship, moving from the palm procession to the passion, provokes a crisis within ourselves. The crowd abruptly transitions in less than a week from adulation and joyful allegiance to Jesus to rage-filled demands for Him to be crucified. The disciples move from proudly marching at His side through the streets of Jerusalem to slinking away in stomach-clenching fear, insisting they don't know who He is. While taking our place among the crowds on Good Friday, shouting for Jesus to be crucified feels awkward and painful. The disciples' experience of simply not affirming that they know Him, of finding their fear prevents them from being present to His pain, feels all too familiar to us. We know that place. We've been there when we're forced to choose. We know, too, that there were those who waited for Jesus at the foot of the cross. There were those who recovered His body and laid it in the tomb, who risked everything to go to His tomb and prepared His body for its final burial. There are those who turned their back on Jesus, and still they made their life as an amend, committed to a journey that might indeed cost them their lives too. Jesus knew that the way ended in Jerusalem. He knew His fate, not because it was ordained by God, but because the consequences of His radical practice of ministry was too threatening to the powers of the temple and empire. He knew and proceeded all the way to the end anyway. He knew that His arrival in Jerusalem was the end of His Camino, at least in the form He knew it. He knew as He prepared His disciples to continue on the way without Him. He knew when He sent them ahead to Jerusalem to procure a donkey for Him. He knew that He was coming to the end of the earth. He knew it, that He would burn His shoes and never return by the way from which He had come. He knew that His pilgrimage with His disciples and others who had journeyed with Him had made them into something new, something strong, something that would endure future persecutions, divisions, and the erosion of time. This morning, we come to the end with Jesus. We leave our shoes by the edge of the water. We have a choice about how we will go on. Will we go back to our solitary lives, concerned only for our own welfare and that of those close to us? Or will we journey on, committed to the way of Jesus beyond His physical presence? Today, we're facing another Camino, aren't we? In this country, the run-up to the presidential elections, we're facing crowds, hate and fear-filled. We're facing people who are getting bullied for standing up with signs for peace and justice. We're facing a rhetoric that isolates and alienates, betrays and beats. We're facing a time of entering Jerusalem with our hosannas and our palm fronds in which the crowd is not friendly. Friends, we are in that. We have had two political candidates here over the last week. There is shouting and screaming and beating, and we might be afraid, but it's not generally folks like us who are getting beaten up. And the footage that I've seen in the news, the ones that are getting beaten up are people of color, not white folks. It's time for us as Christians to stand up, not just simply stand against hatred and fear, but to stand up for love and life, and peace, and justice, and show in everything we do, from the moment we get up out of bed, to when we go to the grocery store and run our errands, to when we're driving in our car, or when we're at work, or on the golf course, or in church, or walking down the street, that peace and love radiate from us. And we won't have a palm frond in our hand, but may we wave that so that people see in the way we carry our bodies that we are about love. Our president and general minister of the UCC says, What we are seeing unfold across the landscape of America in this election cycle frightens us and requires those of us with the agency to do so to lift up those concerns and remind ourselves that our faith asks bigger things of us. We can no longer be silent. And this isn't about partisan politics. This isn't about any candidate. No one can save us. We are part of the faithful community, the beloved community, and with us, God can save our world. And without us, the world goes to hell in a handbasket. And still, God works on, because that is our faith story. Even when things are at their worst, even when Jesus is crucified on the cross, the people rise again. Reverend Dr. Serene Jones, who's president and dean of Union Theological Seminary in New York, says, "We are called to proclaim love and speak out against hate. If we aren't doing that, we have no purpose. We are not living our Christian faith. This morning, as we enter Jerusalem with Jesus, may we go beyond shouting to showing the world what God's good news looks and feels and tastes and smells and sounds like. May we find and speak words of love and life, words that awaken the good within us and call us forward on the journey to a better world together with all God's people. May we counter the cries for crucifixion with actions that celebrate, commemorate, and call forth our best God-given selves as we journey together to a better world for all of God's beloved community. As we live out this Holy Week, may we really live it out. May it be a wake-up call for us to remember that we are in Jerusalem at that moment of dissonance between the two crowds. And we are called to make a choice. And it matters. It's a life and death matter. May we be bold and joyful and peaceful as we go on our way of peace. Amen.